Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
The 380th edition of the Four Corners Podcast starts right now.
This is the Four Corners Podcast.
I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I've said that. To be in Chapel Hill, to be at the University of North Carolina.
We win! 54 to 53! North Carolina did it! North Carolina wins the championship!
With 20 seconds left to play, goes back to Michael Jordan. Jumper from out on the left. Good! Right way to Worthy! Worthy 5! The Tar Heels are going to win the national championship!
Weber, front court, Carolina with foul. He takes the timeout.
Court. Williams on the drive, gets it back out to him, long outside shot, short, rebounded, May, it's over, Carolina has won the national championship, 89-72, and how about them Tar Heels, they are the national champion.
I've been the luckiest coach in the world.
Pump fake for three, too strong on the shot, that's it, the Tar Heels are the national dadgum champions.
Carolina has been tested and tried and been proven successful through all the years. And the way that we will play will be the Carolina way.
My love for North Carolina, I mean, I love this school, I love these fans, and I love everything about it, and I would die for this school, I really would.
Here are your hosts, Josh Marlowe and Anthony Pagnotta.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Four Corners Podcast. We are powered by Carolina Electrical Services. Josh and Anthony hanging out with you guys on a Friday morning, Friday afternoonish, probably by the time you're hearing this. And by now you probably know that James Okonkwo has entered the transfer portal, which is why we're here to talk about his decision and what it means. We said yesterday when we talked about Carolina targeting their first guy in the portal, probably going to commit an episode to every guy that enters the portal for Carolina and every guy that Carolina targets in the portal, to bring you the best in-depth coverage of the transfer portal this offseason. Before we get to that, we start every edition of the pod, as we always do, with the pod thought of the day. We go to Alexander Graham Bell for today's pod thought, and it is, quote, "When one door closes, another opens, but we often look so long and so regretfully upon the closed door that we do not see the one which has opened for us." Man, I think that's a great way to identify what the portal is and what it represents. It's closing the door for players that are on this year's roster, opening doors for guys that are on the roster that'll come back and have different roles. But, of course, opens the door for the incoming freshmen that Carolina has recruited and the incoming transfers that Carolina will bring into the program this offseason. And, you know, we don't know how much player turnover to truly expect. It's not like last year. Like, Carolina didn't go to the NIT because Shubert Davis was overhauling the roster.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think if you put this year's team in last year's situation – I think Carolina goes to the NIT because I don't think you would expect there to be, what, seven guys exiting the program via the portal. And it was a very quick manner, which a lot of these guys got up and out of Chapel Hill, whether it was by their own doing or by Hubert Davis politely telling them to go somewhere else. Don't know what to truly expect this offseason. I think it really depends on what R.J. Davis and what Harrison Ingram decide to do. I think if those guys decide to come back, I think you'll see some of the role guys leave so they can go get a bigger role and get more minutes elsewhere. If those guys go pro, then I think you're looking at a lot of these role guys, the Trimbles, the Jalen Washingtons of the world, the Elliott Cadeaux being here for Carolina next season. With that being said, James Okonkwo, the first guy to enter the transfer portal, he did so this morning after averaging 1 point and one rebound during the season, a reserve big for Carolina. Remember, arrived late in Chapel Hill after the situation at West Virginia where they fired Bob Huggins So he got to Carolina, I think it was right before they started their summer workouts. And it may have been even when they had started the summer workouts because of how late he got to Chapel Hill. We knew when he got here he was going to be a depth big, and that's exactly what he proved to be. Did have a solid game in the blowout win over Charleston Southern, scoring 7 points, grabbing 4 rebounds. You go back to that win at Boston College, though, played significant first half minutes because of the foul trouble that Jalen Washington and Armando Bacot found themselves in. Remember, got the lob dunk right before the half that gave Carolina the momentum going into the break. So I say all that to say this was not a surprise and probably the most expected move of any guy this offseason, and kind of like a Justin McCoy and some other guys, a guy that transferred here, never carved out a role, never carved out a space on the roster, is probably going to take a step down in competition, but to go somewhere where he could play legitimate minutes and play college basketball at some sort of a high level.
Yeah, I mean, I think this was something we had kind of talked about this when we were laying out what we thought that the roster would ultimately look like last year when we were just conversating off the air. And this was a guy that I think we all kind of thought, you wonder what he really feels about his role. Does he feel like he's in a place where eventually he will be able to possibly become a guy that is a part of the rotation for Carolina, down low? And I think we both kind of said to ourselves, probably not. He probably doesn't feel that way. Carolina's probably, the way that they have recruited, along with the fact that, they still can go into the transfer portal to get guys. I mean, there's a good chance that he is going to leave. And so today's news is not really that shocking. If you're wondering, what ends up happening to his role, especially if Carolina isn't able to get somebody out of the transfer portal, it's really this simple. He will be replaced by James Brown. And James Brown's a dude coming out in this recruiting class that is a 4-star prospect, but he's a guy that's rated right at, I think he's maybe just inside of the top 100. If not, he's just outside of it. And he'll be a guy that you're bringing in. He's a freshman straight out of high school. He will have more upside than Okonkwo will have. So I think he looked at that and just said, yeah, maybe I'm going to fit better somewhere else. And I'm with you. I think now this is the second time that he's transferring from a power conference school. I think he'll go down. And I think I think there's some things to his game that you like. The fact that he can run, that he's a rim runner. The fact that he does a really good job protecting the rim. We saw that in the flashes when he was on the floor for Carolina, and he is a really good rebounder as well because of how aggressive he is. I think he'll have a spot at one of these smaller schools.
Oh, yeah, no, there's going to be a school like maybe in the Missouri Valley, one of those high-end, 1-2-bid leagues where he could really be a difference maker because, as you mentioned, is a guy that runs from end to end, can't protect the rim, and just gets his body in the right position to make plays from a rebounding perspective. But it's just not a guy that in the way that Carolina wants to play was never going to have that big of a role because he's a limited offensive player. A lot of his offense would come off offensive rebounds and lob dunks, where Carolina, with the departure of Armando Bacot, you're going to see, assuming Jalen Washington is here and even Zayden Hive, that those guys stick around. Man, those are perimeter-oriented big men. And you're going to see a lot of five-out sets that Carolina will incorporate into their offense. And so, you mentioned James Brown. This is a guy that, is going to be a high-end 4-star type of guy. And this is a guy that the staff has raved about. They got involved in him as a 3-star recruit, and they've kind of seen his climb and his ascension up to where he is now. So they got in on him early, and there's a lot of optimism around his game as a guy that, as you mentioned, will fill that role that Okonkwo had this year, but his upside is higher. And the fact that Carolina's recruited him from straight out of high school kind of gives him the leg up, you know, in terms of standing with the staff.
He's also taken a bigger jump than I realized this year, which makes sense because he went to Link Academy, which was where Elliot Cadeau was playing in his final year. He went there, and now he's up to 73rd in the country. So he's made a pretty decent jump here, and I think that going to a school like that probably helps him out a little bit and can speed up that potential growth that we could see in Chapel Hill.
I think the biggest thing this move does is you speculate, what does this mean for Jalen Washington and Zaden High? Player meetings are done. They've been wrapped up. Hubert Davis came away from them very positive, very excited about what's to come and what these guys are ultimately going to decide to do. And look, I think, you know, on paper, Jalen Washington would be a guy that would slide into that starting role because Carolina has, as far as we know, not got involved with any legitimate big man so far in the transfer portal. And Zaden High is a guy that, again, a high-end four-star recruit, and was a guy that, you know, Hubert Davis would play in ACC games when the game was tight in the first half. A lot of it was, A, due to foul trouble, but also this guy just brought kind of an edge off the bench that this team could rally behind because, I mean, he averaged like 3 fouls a minute because he was just that anxious and that physical when he got on the court. So does this move from Okonkwo entering the portal maybe serve as an early hint that Jalen Washington and Zaden High expect to be a part of Carolina's roster next season?
Well, I mean, look, the thing is as we've seen from last year, just because a guy at that same position enters the portal doesn't mean that it secures everybody else. Because we thought last year that when we were seeing all of these wing guys go elsewhere, okay, eventually, mainly with Puff Johnson, that means he's coming back. And then he enters the portal. So I have no idea. With Zaden High, I think that's probably the more interesting one. I know there are a lot of people concerned about Jalen Washington. I don't... And maybe it's me being foolish, because maybe if they do end up looking for a big in the transfer portal, he would think to himself, I should be good enough. I will go somewhere else. But I don't see him taking that mindset. Again, one of the biggest things to remember about with him is when he came out of high school, remember he was dealing with the knee injury. Carolina was a school that could have bailed on him in high school and said, look, man, this is a long rehab process. You're not going to be able to come in and be immediately effective. He dropped to a 4-star from a 5-star. So, yeah, Carolina could have looked at other bigs that could have came in and had an immediate impact. They didn't. They stuck by him. They were an integral part of him being able to rehab as quickly as he was able to before he eventually returned to the court and played some last year for Carolina. And then you saw his role grow this year. And the thing is that even if Carolina does go into the transfer portal and get somebody, it feels like there are few guys, especially bigs, that are from power conferences that are guaranteed to be really great players that Carolina can go out and get. So I think his role is going to be pretty large regardless, and there's a good chance that if they bring somebody in, that person, if they don't succeed, it opens the door for him to be a starter. So I'm not worried about him. High, I think you just have to figure out, where is he at? Does he believe that he is a guy that is better than the minutes that he will more than likely be playing again next year? And if that's the case, then he may potentially look to the portal. So I feel pretty secure about Jalen Washington. I think this really shouldn't have much of an effect on that. And with Zaden High, I mean, I think this probably helps it a little bit. The fact that you see Okonkwo leaving, this maybe makes you feel a little bit better about the fact that High will be back next year. But I do see a path where he could ultimately enter the portal and it makes sense.
Yeah, the thing for Jalen Washington is You see the skill, the ability on the offensive end of the floor. The reason why Carolina is going to go get a big, or you expect them to go get a big, is you're going to have someone that can hold their own on the paint, in the paint. And look, maybe another full offseason in Carolina's offseason program, he adds the muscle to his frame to hold up, kind of like John Henson did. Because when John Henson arrived in Chapel Hill, he was a toothpick. And even though he never got physically bigger, he did get stronger and could hold his own. And Jalen Washington got pushed around far too often on the inside last year.
Definitely.
And it's why, you know, like, granted, like, yeah, he had a you know, Armando playing in front of him, and you wanted Mondo on the court over him, but it's why, it was why his role never got bigger than what it was. And it's why you had to play Armando, you know, 32 to 36 minutes in conference play, just simply because he became a liability on the defensive end. He unlocks everything we want to do offensively, as I mentioned, with the five out sets, his ability to stretch the floor and really hit the 3-point shot. But his deficiencies defensively are why Carolina is going to go portaling to find a big man. But I don't think that should, you know, I still think Jalen Washington should be a starter, depending on what type of big you get in from the portal. As for Zaden High, you know, I think this is a guy that you can see there's a want to there, and there's a desire to be there, because he played so hard in the limited minutes that he got. You know, in the old days, you would be really excited about, man, what's he gonna look like as a sophomore when he takes the next step? It's not a guarantee he's gonna stick around, because there's gonna be other schools that will contact him and then say, we have more to offer you from a minute standpoint, from an NIL standpoint. Does he weigh that, or does he look at the possibility of being on a team that could compete for a championship next year and have a role? Because I do think, as we sit here today, he could have a role on this team next year as the eighth or ninth guy, in the rotation. So I love his energy. I love his effort. I love his attitude. Again, he's an offensively driven player who can spread the floor, and he's not shy to take 3-point shots. We saw that and learned that kind of the hard way at points throughout the season. But, you know, this was another guy that, yeah, Elliott Cadeau got a lot of the hype because he was a 5-star freshman that reclassified. This staff was really big on High as well. And so I think this is going to be one where, as much as they put in recruiting him to get him to Carolina, they're going to do as much recruiting him to keep him at Carolina, at least for one more season. So, you know, I think we all expect Carolina to go out and get involved with a big man from the transfer portal. I think the question is where are they going to look to? Like, there's not going to be there's not going to be a Hunter Dickinson that enters a portal this offseason. You've got the kid from Rutgers that everyone is high on, but he's not leaving, you know, the upper part, you know, the triad is what they call that part. The tri-state. That's not a guy that's coming south.
You wouldn't think, but his recruitment has sort of picked up. A lot of people thought he would already be committed to St. John's, and there have been some outside schools from outside the tri-state area that have gotten into the running for him. So, I mean, I don't know. I think if you're Carolina, you have to at least inquire. Right? I mean, 13.2 points per game, 9.6 rebounds per game, but most importantly, 2.1 blocks per game. So a guy that can seal the rim, yeah, I mean, I would definitely look into it. And that was his junior year. This year, as a senior, because he'll have an extra year, he dipped in points and rebounds, but he had 2.9 blocks per game. So even better on the defensive end of the floor.
Yeah.
I think you got to inquire at least.
Oh, yeah. Carolina's got to do their homework.
Definitely.
And the phone call has got to be made, and the interest has to be shown. I still think ultimately he ends up playing for Rick Pitino, playing at St. John's.
I'd agree with that.
So
there's a couple of other names that are interesting. One is a name that people may know from the tournament if you watched it. Great Osabor from Utah State. The thing about him that's weird is he's technically a big. He's a center, but it's mainly because of the way that he is built. He's 6'8", but he's 250. So he's a little bit wider. To me, like, is that really what Carolina's looking for? Like, when we watched him, he's a really good offensive big. But he is not a guy that's going to give you much on the defensive end of the floor.
You're talking about 6'8", you're giving up size on the interior.
Exactly.
So, but I mean, look, there's none about it. He's a quote-unquote great player, was the Mountain West player of the year.
Yes.
You know, got to wonder, does he follow his head coach to Washington? That kind of remains to be seen.
Very possible.
But, you know, like, that's the guy that you got to go after. You've got the big from Kentucky. How do you say his last name? Thiero.
Well, he's more. A lot of people have looked at him and said he's more in the mold of what they would go after if they lose Harrison Ingram.
Yeah, but
because
I mean, like, that's a guy that you could
on the wing. And
but that's
stuff
a guy
like
that you could pair with Jalen Washington, still being.
I mean,
because
he's
in your center.
He's 6'5", so he's a little smaller. The one I like, just from looking at some of these guys, I mean, I know everybody's going to want to talk about Reynaud from Stanford, but he, again, is not a guy that gives you much offensively. He's got the size at 7'1".
And there's a very good chance he stays at Stanford.
Yeah.
Very good chance.
Brandon Garrison from Oklahoma State's a guy I think you can keep an eye on. A little bit smaller. Some people say he's not 6'11", like they listed him this past year. So even if he's like 6'10", he's still a guy that averages a block and a half per game. I think he can give you something on each end of the floor, but he's also a guy that I don't think is this overpowering presence to where if he comes in there, Jalen Washington isn't going to play. That might be the perfect type of guy where you could balance him with Washington and really have a good front court tandem that you can bounce back and forth between, each guy averaging somewhere, you know, near 20 minutes a game, and I think be pretty comfortable with those two.
Yeah, and look, you got to remember that, you know, yes, we'll make a big deal out of their size, their height, you know, and their weight. But the game's getting smaller, and it's made its way to the college level, even though you see three dominant big men will headline this year's Final Four. And look, Hubert Davis wants to play a modern style, a modern game. And so they're not going to be afraid to go get a quote-unquote undersized big man to put into their system and their program. And I think with the way that Harrison Ingram rebounded playing out of position at the four, I think you can still be confident that Carolina could still hold their own on the glass and be the type of team we're used to them being from a rebounding perspective, even if they're running out guys that are, you know, 6'10 or smaller. But right now, it's all speculation because we just know of Kay Tyson is the only one that they've officially contacted. Expect that news to pick up over the weekend. If not, maybe, you know, they'll lay low because a lot of schools just try to give the Final Four the stage that, you know, it requires and deserves. But Hubert Davis has a job to do, and his job is to put together the best roster possible for next season, and he and his staff are busy putting that together right now. That's going to wrap up this edition of the podcast, guys. But before we get out of here, we're going to get you a quick word from one of our partners. Hey there, Josh here for the Autograph Fandom app. Want to get rewarded for listening to our show? The team at Autograph, co-founded by Tom Brady, is redefining the fan experience by letting users earn points for the acts of fandom they take every day, like listening to this show. The Autograph Fandom app gives you access to your favorite UNC content in one place and offers rewards like tickets, exclusive merchandise, and much more. You're already listening to our show, but now you can earn points and get rewarded for it. Head over to the Apple App Store and search for Autograph Fandom Rewarded and download it today for free using the referral code HEALTOUGH. Link and code are also in our podcast description. Welcome back inside the Four Corners Podcast, hanging out with you on a Friday. We talked about the impact of James Okonkwo's decision to transfer out of the Carolina program. He's the first Tar Heel to make his decision to exit via the transfer portal. And we expect maybe a couple more decisions depending on what RJ Davis and Harrison Ingram decide to do as Carolina will look to build their roster the best way possible this offseason. That is going to wrap up, though, this edition of the podcast. Guys, before we let you go, do encourage you, visit the website heeltoughblog.com. Article about Okonkwo's decision is already up and posted. Go and check out that article. Go and read about Kay Tyson, the first guy that Carolina has contacted in the transfer portal. Anthony broke down him and what he could potentially bring to Chapel Hill. And we'll be here all offseason long covering the transfer portal news, both for guys that enters the portal for Carolina and the guys that Carolina targets out of the portal. Spring football, we're 2 weeks away from the spring game. It's been a little bit quiet on that front, but anything that comes out of Mac Brown's program, we'll have you covered on that on the site as well. Just get into the habit every single day visiting our website, heeltoughblog.com, for the latest and the best Carolina basketball and Tar Heel football coverage. As for the podcast, you guys know where to find us. Every major podcasting platform, simply search the Four Corners Podcast where we will pop up. We're there. We encourage you guys to rate, review, and subscribe. That way you don't miss any editions of the show throughout the basketball offseason. Well, with that, guys, it is going to wrap up this edition of the show. Do want to thank Anthony for hosting with me. We want to thank you guys for listening. And as always, go Tar Heels.
Guys, it just doesn't get any sweeter than that.